it's like me, it's going to work, but slowly. Imagine you were the owner of one of these castles when it was brand new, a long time ago. Could you have predicted which of these it would look like now? The one in the middle is in pretty good condition, isn't it? The one on the left is, well, barely recognisable, and the one on the right is just, well, it could be anything, couldn't it? Well, think of your own home that you live in now. Have you any idea whether it'll even be there in, say, 100 years' time? And that 100 years sounds a long time to us, but it's not much in the biblical time scale at all. Just think for a minute about some nations that are mentioned in the Bible. Egypt has continued since Bible times. The nation of Ammon has disappeared. You won't find it on any current map. All these cities, Jerusalem has been lived in right up to the present. Babylon has disappeared. Could we have predicted these outcomes? The Bible did, in every case. So we're going to look about accurate predictions about the Jews in the Bible on a much longer time scale than we've just been talking about. So here's a very brief summary of the story of the Jews. They were a nation, well, they were descended from Abraham first of all, but they became a nation under David, and then they had turbulent history, and then obviously this is very brief. They were scattered around the world in AD 70 and persecuted for nearly 2,000 years. Despite having no homeland, they still survived as a nation, a very dispersed nation. And then they returned to their homeland, and the Jewish state was formed in 1948, and they've been the focus of world attention ever since. I haven't seen it on the BBC news, but there are arguments about the Temple Mount going on right now. I want you to remember in the course of this talk that we're looking at Bible predictions. We're not considering the rights or wrongs of the people concerned. We're not expressing any kind of political interest in their outcomes. So we've just looked at Leviticus, and there are similar words in Deuteronomy, and particularly in verse 33, which we didn't go down to. It says, I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Let's just look at that. I mean, that was in the time of Moses, of course. Let's just go to Ezekiel chapter 22. Nearly 1,000 years more recent. Ezekiel 22 and verse 15. And I will scatter thee among the heathen and disperse thee in the countries, and I will consume thy filthiness out of thee. And what happened? They were scattered, dispersed, all around the world. These numbers are actually a bit out of date, but you can see how many nations the Jews are scattered around. And there's another page for. Even Gibraltar, estimated 600 Jewish population. So those prophecies we've read in something like 1400 BC and 600 or 700 BC, they were right. Over more than 2,000 years. Just go back to our reading from Leviticus 26 again. The difference between Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 is nearly 40 years. They're very similar, but they're addresses given to different generations. Leviticus 26 verse 17. I will set my face against you. Notice where John started in verse 14. If you will not hearken unto me. Verse 17, I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. In verse 25, I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant, and when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And there's a similar words, as I say, in Deuteronomy 28. And what happened? The Holocaust is really only a bit of the story. I mean, it's the most frightening part. We're familiar with 6 million Jews being killed during the Second World War. But in fact, it was going on before then, and it's going on since, and there's anti-Semitic feeling even now. We don't hear much about it on our British news, but it's a serious problem just across the water in France, anti-Semitism. And the Bible was right that they would be persecuted because they didn't obey God's commands. But it isn't all bleak. We go to Ezekiel chapter 11. This is the remarkable part of the story that any unbeliever would never have foreseen. Ezekiel 11 and verse 17. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you've been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Before 1900, who could have foreseen that that would come true? It seemed impossible. Now there are 6 million Jews in Israel, increasing all the time. Ezekiel 37 and verse 21. Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the nations whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. What happened? Following that persecution during the Second World War, the Holocaust, the Jews couldn't wait to return to their own homeland. Even though the land was being looked after by the British under the Mandate, and who forbade the Jews to come into the country, nevertheless, what they did was to take really old ships and beach them on the beaches of Israel, the Mediterranean coast. And of course what happened was that the British took them to Cyprus because they'd forbidden them to come into the land. But it's all very well the British government making rules, but God written beforehand what's actually going to happen. And this is a famous picture of the Declaration of the State of Israel in 1948. They did return to their own homeland. The Declaration of the State of Israel took place the minute, literally, that the British mandate expired, and they had to fight for their independence against the surrounding nations who were determined to wipe them out. But God had said that they would be returned to their own land, and it was so. Despite the best efforts of all the surrounding nations around Israel to wipe them out completely, the fact is that Israel is now solidly established in the land of Israel. That doesn't mean that they're not an international problem. Zechariah 12 and verse 3. It shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away shall surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. And even as we speak, there is dispute between the national government of Israel and the Muslim authorities who have jurisdiction over the Temple Mount about who can and can't go there. And if you've been to Israel in the last 10 years, I think, theoretically, you have the right to go on the Temple Mount. In practice, it's extremely difficult because there are long queues, very thorough searches. Any Bibles found are confiscated immediately, and you're not allowed to take cameras. Because Jerusalem is a source of dispute. And it isn't just the Jews and the Muslims, because the Roman Catholic Church would like to declare Jerusalem as a world religious heritage site. And so there are three different religions fighting over the same square mile or so. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. And if we go on to chapter 14 in Zechariah in verse 2, I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. That verse in chapter 12 of Zechariah has been fulfilled and is being fulfilled. The one in Zechariah 14 hasn't. It's still something for the future. So Jerusalem continues to be the centre of Middle East tension. You can go there, that's not the problem. If you can see that dividing fence there, it's men to the left and ladies to the right. You can't go on this bit, which is wheelchair access to the Temple Mount itself. You can't go on this bit unless you're a Muslim, or else with the greatest difficulty. It continues to be an international problem. President Trump declared, didn't he, that he was going to move the United States Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. I gather he's now backed down on that because he's discovered it's not as simple as he thought. Jerusalem continues to be the centre of problems for the world. Let's just look at Psalm 83. We're moving now, I think, into the area of Bible prophecies which are not yet fulfilled. But just we'll just go through the first 8 verses of Psalm 83, and you can see the list of enemies that are shown on the screen as we read them. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remnants. Now, statements like that have been made in recent times by both Hamas and also Iran. And in fact, that was almost the exact words in May 1948 when the British mandate came to an end and the Jews were nearly, or attempted to be, wiped out by their neighbours. Verse 5, for they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarines, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Asher also is joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot. What a list. It's all the surrounding nations of Israel and those a little bit further afield. They're also, in the main, Islamic nations. This prophecy about the Arab nations which surround modern Israel has not been fulfilled. Not yet. But they seem to be doing their best, at least individually, to try and bring this about. The prophet says in the psalm that they will be confederate together. So this is something which is expected to happen in the near future. What made the Bible prophets predict such a unique history for the Jews? From being a nation, to being dispersed, to being a nation again, to being dispersed again for a very long time, and now being a nation together again in their own land. And what made the same prophets predict totally different histories for the surrounding nations? Can you find anything else like Bible predictions? We started off in Leviticus, approximately 1400 or 1500 BC, 3,500 years ago. There's no other form of prophecy like that that can come true after such a vast period of time. And the prophecies have come true every time. These Bible predictions are clear and precise, written before the event, many, many years before the event in most cases. The writers had no power to make the predictions come true. Indeed, mostly, they've come true after the death of the writer. And they were fulfilled by people who were not aware of their involvement. Do you think Hitler had any clue that what he was doing in the Holocaust had been predicted in the Bible? Do you think the Arab nations who tried to prevent the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948 had any clue that the Bible said that that's exactly what they would do? Do you think the present day nations that surround Israel have any clue that the Bible has predicted precisely what they're doing? And this is the challenge. If the Bible can be trusted to have made these prophecies this far in advance and get it right, then you can trust its statements about your life. We need to read and believe the Bible, and we need to act upon what we read, because it's infallibly true.